Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are going to introduce you this morning to a program that I just recently found out about. It's based in this area. Fail Safe Era is what it's called. It helps former inmates re-enter society. And we're going to talk all about that. Juanita Shanks is here, the president and CEO. And also Jim Barron is also here with Fail Safe Era. Good morning to both of you. Thanks for getting up and coming in.
Good morning, Ted.
Good to see you.
Thank you for having us.
Juanita, where have you been all these years? Because Jim and I have a little bit of a history together, and he's the one who introduced me to this. But you've been around for a few years.
Yes, absolutely, we have, and that's one of the reasons why it's important for us to be here today. Because we hear that from several people that they've not heard from us. They did not know that we existed. We've been here for launched Fail Safe Era back in 2009, and it's just very important for us to get the word out to the communities that we exist. Some know about us and some do not.
Well, and what a great topic, because I think a lot of us don't fail to realize that when a person gets out from being incarcerated from jail or prison, it's not like you just walk out and there's something waiting for you. Most of the time there's not, and there's a lot of barriers to be overcome, and you're helping those people. You're trying to cut off just the cycle that
Absolutely.
Really develops.
Absolutely. And you're right. That's one of the things that the reason why we do exist, because for that very reason, that people will walk out of jail or people will walk out of prison and there's nothing for them. I know that from past experience, from as I walked through this process with my son, and there was no Fail Safe Era that existed. And this was about almost 20 years ago. But as we walked through that process, it was very emotional. It was very painful. And so as we walked through that, I recognized that at the time that this is what people need. People need somebody or some organization, some group of people that will say, I understand you have made a bad decision, that you have made a very big mistake in your life, but we're here to help you to overcome those challenges, to help you to overcome that bad decision that you made. We're here to make sure that you have those right resources and those tools that are necessary so that you can become that successful and productive member in our community.
And because most of the time, or a lot of the time, the people that go in, they're young, like you say, they've made a bad decision, and you hope that that doesn't define them forever.
Yeah, but that's what happens.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, and people do not. Unfortunately, a lot of people do not believe in giving people another chance. Or giving people a second chance, in some cases a third, fourth, maybe fifth, sixth chance. But it's important for us as people to put a human face on those individuals, because what I don't believe that people are born bad.
Yeah.
People make these decisions. We don't know what may have happened throughout their lifetime, their childhood, that causes them to make these bad decisions. But we have to understand that if we do something as a person, we want somebody to give us a chance.
And when you talked about this is personal as this is, having dealt with things with your son, I'm sure you ran into as he tried to reestablish himself, and you ran into a lot of roadblocks. As a mom, you're thinking, come on, give him a chance, or this isn't fair. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the person and the family a lot of times looks at these situations and says, it's not fair, and that's what you're here to try to help.
Yeah, actually, you know, and when I first launched FailSafe, it was really supposed to have been an organization just for the family. Because that's what I was. I was a family member that was affected by incarceration. But I slowly had to come to the realization that I'm not going to get to the families without getting to the incarcerated person. And the other thing is that because the family members are not going to come out, they're ashamed. Families mm-hmm. do not want others to know that they have an incarcerated family member. And so it was very difficult to reach that family member. So I started going into the jails and into prison ministry in the jail so that I can reach out to the incarcerated persons so that I can then reach the family members. And then as it evolved, it turned into we have got to help that person that made that decision, because the families are suffering and the families are there and the families want that help. They want people to not look at them in an awkward way. They do not want to have to tell you that my son is gone. My son is gone in some cases for the rest of his life.
Wow. Yeah. No, I never even thought of that. But you try to keep I'm sure initially you did try to keep it as quiet as you can. And then you have people, you know, I haven't seen your son lately, Juanita. What's he doing now? And, you know, how do you answer? You know, you want to just disappear.
You know what you say? You know what I used to say? I'll tell you one of the reasons why we kind of stayed hidden for a little while is because I recently retired from federal government, and there was absolutely no way I was going to let my superiors, my peers, and everybody know at that time anyway that I had a son who was incarcerated.
Right.
So I had to keep it quiet. But as time would go on, I they would ask me, where is he? Well, he's in West Virginia. You didn't ask me where he was in West Virginia, mm-hmm. but he's in West Virginia. Yeah. He lives in West Virginia. You didn't tell me, you didn't ask me if he lived in an institution in West Virginia.
Sure.
So you just say they live in West Virginia.
Yeah.
He's doing fine.
But that's a whole nother thing. I never even considered that of just the shame that family members would feel and have to come to grips
Absolutely.
With that.
Yeah. And you know what? You have so many people in this community.
Yeah.
So many people in this community throughout the world, of course, but that's affected. But they won't say anything because they're embarrassed. And we've got to stop that.
Jim, you retired from another life, and you've kind of jumped into this feet first.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I did retire, Ted. I retired from American Traffic, who you know. We've been on your show before.
Yeah.
But I got an interest in Juanita's organization because I myself have been going into Rappahannock Regional Jail for the last 4 years now. And every Friday night. And in there, I lead a Christian-based men's fellowship.
Okay.
And I've gotten to know a lot of these guys over the last 4 years. And, it's unfortunate. You know, over the last 4 years, we've had three of our gentlemen who attended that fellowship who've passed away, and it's been drug problems. You know, they died of drug problems or got in trouble again. Or I see people again coming back into jail. And but I will tell you that the majority of the men that I work with, they want another chance when they leave the institution. And they don't get that chance because when there's something on your record, let's say there's a DUI conviction, and let's say they've had multiple DUI convictions, and you're up to that felony level. Well, that's going to stay on your record for, close to 10 years. And these guys who are out there trying to make a living, they've got families to support. They really want to do good. They realize that they made a mistake and they want to get back into their community. They need that second chance. And this organization, Failsafe Era, this gives them that opportunity. And I also retired, Ted, as you know, I retired from the military. And, you know, when we were on deployment for 6-7 months, prior to coming back to the United States, we had to get some sort of an indoctrination. Hey, here's the new traffic laws in Virginia. Here's, what you got to do. Here's the new tax structure. There's lots of things that we miss when we're gone. And it's the same thing for these guys in our institutions. They miss a lot of things. What Failsafe does is they kind of get them up to speed and give them the tools that they need, the education, the hopefully the employment, the transportation, the counseling, et cetera, to get them rolling and get on with their life. So it's just a wonderful program. And it's something that we really need to give these guys another chance.
Jim Barron is here. Juanita Shanks is here. Failsafe-era.org is the website. Failsafe Era, our focus this morning. More coming up. We're going to talk about the Center of Hope and all of this going on with this an organization that I think a lot of us are just getting to know, but an organization that luckily for us right here in our backyard. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Juanita Shanks here, the president and CEO of Failsafe Era. Also, Jim Barron here. He's with the organization, too. We are talking about their work in helping former inmates reenter society, helping families. Where'd you come up with the name?
Oh, my gosh. That question I get all the time. You really don't want to know what this acronym stands for. But I think I mentioned earlier that I retired from government. And, you know, government and people always have acronyms.
Yeah, you can. You never know.
Yeah.
Try talking. The federal government is the worst.
So as I was working in government, I was working at Department of Commerce, and I was on public transportation, and I started thinking about families affected by incarcerated loved ones and sincere and forward-thinking exhorters. And then I thought, education and rehabilitation and adaptation. That's what Failsafe Era stands for. All of that.
Wow.
But we cut it
it's
to
like a game of Scrabble
era.
Here.
Yeah. So we don't say all of that. We say Failsafe Era.
Well, okay. I figured there had to be a name, or there had to be a story around that whole thing. I guess one of the things that, and I'm sure you've run into this, we just talked about how families are affected. Mm-hmm. Victims of crime are going to say, "Well, what about us?"
Yeah, and I understand and I agree. And I guess the first thing I would say to a victim is, "I'm sorry," and I really am truly sorry that you had to suffer this maybe heinous crime, but. And it's a fair question. And the other thing I say to the victims is that while we're on the side of helping the perpetrator, mm-hmm. that we also believe that there are consequences for your actions. And so we're not saying that there should not be consequences for their actions. What we're saying is that they have served their time. And now we want to help them so that they don't do this again, that they do not reoffend. We understand that it's I can't imagine being a victim of a crime. And so our hearts go out to them, and we want to make sure that that does not happen to them again.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is it's such a complicated situation.
It is.
So in your case, when your son got out, what were some of the first barriers that you saw that he encountered?
You know, the first barrier I would say was his demeanor, because I think one of the things that's really important for people to know is that counseling is very important. And I think that had we known that it was going to be take such an impact on him, that we would have started off with some counseling. You can't lock people up, let them out, and expect for them to be okay. And so I think the first thing we would have done had we known was ensure he has some sort of counseling. The second barrier, of course, is employment. He has this big F word on his record, this F word felony on his record.
Yeah.
It was a drug charge, but it's big F word on his on his record. And so people were not willing to give him an opportunity to work. That was that was one of the hardest challenges. And so we're constantly, and for that reason, we're constantly in Failsafe looking for employers who are willing to partner with us to give these guys another opportunity and another chance, and that we will stand behind them and ensure that these guys are ready for that opportunity.
And I know there are some employers. I've heard of different people that have come through here. There are people that seem willing to do that.
That's wonderful. Please definitely connect us to them also.
Yeah, but I'm sure you need, you know, many more. Because one of the things I'm sure you have to deal with is just the perception of the movies. You know, in the movies, when mm-hmm. someone gets out of jail, they get their stuff, they walk out, mm-hmm. and a lot of times live happily ever after. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But
not so.
No, when you're the things that you've set up here this morning, that's why you're here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is not a happily ever after. It's important that they have that support system, though. The support system helps a lot. If you don't have anybody or anything to come out to, it is not going to be a happily ever after. It is going to be it's going to be some very trying times. And a lot of times, what a lot of these guys, and when you mention, we refer to these guys as returning citizens. We do not say formerly incarcerated. We do not say convicted felons. We consider them as returning citizens. They've completed their sentences. They've returned back to our communities as citizens in our communities. And so, you know, we want them to understand that we're here. That, yeah, you know, in some cases, some of them may have burned some bridges and they may not be able to go back to their families. We want to help bridge that gap between them and their families so that at some point that healing can start taking place.
Mm. Yeah, that's a whole nother thing.
It is.
Families, you become very bitter of, you know, we gave you this kind of a chance and you, you know, you blew it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
So, boy, you're really dealing with a lot of sensitive things on a lot of levels. Mm-hmm. So tell me about the Center of Hope.
Oh my gosh, the Center of Hope. The Center of Hope is exactly how it sounds. We're their anchor of hope in the community. These returning citizens and the families have to understand that we are going to be there for them as they return to help remove those barriers that prevents them from becoming that trusted, that successful, that productive member in the communities. In our Center of Hope that we are expecting, we will open in August of the year of 2020, we have a 2020 vision to open our Center of Hope. But in our Center of Hope, we will have educational opportunities where we will be executing our personal resilience and empowerment program. We will have our Family Caring Connections program, our wellness center. And when I speak of wellness, we're talking about that counseling, the coaching, the mentoring, that those things that's going to help them to become that one that whole person again. We will also have access to housing. That's another problem that they run into. Some of those basic survival needs of having a place to live. You know, a lot of people won't rent to a person who has a felony.
Yeah.
And so it's unfortunate, and they wind up living under a bridge or they're homeless again. We will also offer access to transportation. If they do not have transportation, then they cannot meet their obligations. And in some cases, that causes them to recidivate. That's where that vicious cycle of you can't get to your probation officer, then you have been violated and you're back in the system again. Also in our Center of Hope, we will have a chapel. We look at the whole person. We have a holistic approach. We believe that we have got to help you both spiritually and naturally. We recognize that in some cases we can't reach a person spiritually until we feed you naturally. But that is a part of what we stand for. So in the Center of Hope, it is their anchor of hope.
So it'll be a regular building. Do you know where you want to put it yet?
Well, it's going to be we do not have a definite location, but it will be in the Planning District 16 area.
Okay. How exciting. What can we do to get involved? What can people who are interested in this, what can the community do to make this happen?
Oh, gosh. There's so much that we can do. First of all, I thank you for giving us this opportunity to share with the community that we're here. We need you to be a part of it. We need our community leaders to get involved. We need our leaders to get in front of us, get behind us, to work alongside us to say this is something that is very important. It is needed. It is something that I think people in the community really want to have. I think we all want to live in a safe environment. I think we all want healthy families. And for our Center of Hope, what we need is, bottom line, what we need are some financial resources. And we need the support of our leaders. We need the support of the community. We need to be able to help change the the thinking, the thought process of people that says just throw them away. They don't need another chance.
Yeah.
We have to understand that it can happen to anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, and when I say anybody, you know, I always tell people, you know, you have a lot of people who say, and people may say to you, you know, Ted, you look just like. And if just like had just robbed a bank, you're guilty until proven innocent.
Hmm. Yeah.
And then you have some people who truly did just do this one thing, dumb thing, first time in their lives. They need another opportunity, another chance. And so what we need from the communities is a heart. A heart and some forgiveness that says, I understand you made a bad decision, but we're here. We want our communities to be safe. Let's put Virginia, let's put Planning District 16 on the map, and then Virginia on the map that says we have the best reentry program in the world. We have 2 million people, over 2 million people that's incarcerated in the United States. It's unfortunate even to say that United States is, we're number one in the world with the highest number of people incarcerated. So we want to put Virginia on the map.
And you think of what that costs.
Oh, my gosh, billions of dollars. We pay more to incarcerate and to build prisons than we do to educate.
Now, because when the center becomes a reality and when people are able to get back in and they become productive, they become the people then who are helping provide taxes for area localities.
Absolutely. And, you know, and the other thing I say to people is that we're really good about and really quick to incarcerate people. Let's be really good and really quick about rehabilitating them.
More information on Failsafe ERA can be found at failsafe-era.org. That is the website. Juanita Shanks here and Jim Barron. More coming up on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now 8:30.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Juanita Shanks is here. Also, Jim Barron is here. Failsafe ERA is the organization we're talking about this morning. They're locally based over in the Goodwill Building over in Spotsylvania. They help former inmates reenter society by offering, as you've talked about, education and housing, transportation, all the things that are out there. Juanita, I guess you've been doing this long enough, and I'm sure you've got a lot of success stories that keep you going through even some of the tough times.
Yes, absolutely, and that is truly what does keep us going, because when you hear that thank you, when you see the successes, some of our successes I'll share with you. We every year we have a scholarship award ceremony, and it's a banquet that we just held one Saturday.
Yeah, it was last weekend.
Absolutely. And we provide a scholarship to a returning citizen and a scholarship to a family member that has been affected by incarceration. And I'll tell you, some of our scholarship recipients, one of our scholarship recipients received his master's degree in counseling. Now he's giving counseling back out in the community. And it just makes you feel good to know that you were able to be there for them so that they can continue their education. Another one of our scholarship recipients received his commercial driver's license, and now he has his own trucking business. And so he's doing some great things. And their successes, it makes you feel good to know that you can help somebody, that you have made a difference, to be able to help them to get housing. We have a couple of people that we're working with to get them in housing. And just knowing that you've helped someone not to be homeless makes a huge difference. We also have we're piloting an entrepreneurial program. And so we're helping a returning citizen who's a very successful and talented barber in this community. And just to see the smiles on their faces, to hear the appreciation from them, makes a huge difference for them to, in some cases, we hear people say, if it were not for you guys, I have no idea what I would have done. Mm-hmm.
And that goes back, Jim, to what you were talking about, the group that you work with on Friday nights in the jails, that there are people that get out and don't come out bitter, but want to come out
Yes.
Try to write things.
Yeah, a lot of these guys, Ted, they leave the Rappahannock Regional Jail, and they've got a choice. They can either go to the Fast Mart and, you know, get something to drink and continue on a bad lifestyle, or they can go to a group like Failsafe Era or some other organization, a Christian-based organization, and get some help. And unfortunately, some guys make the wrong decision, but fortunately, a lot of people are making the right decision. And this is precisely the type of organization that we need in this area to help these guys when they get out, because a lot of these guys do not have anything. You had mentioned earlier their families. You know, they start losing communication with their families. Their families give up on them. And these guys, I tell you, the majority of these guys, they want and they need and they deserve a second chance when they get out.
Yeah. No, because when you think about it, depending, even if it's just a couple of years, a person goes in, comes out. Mm-hmm. Family members may have left the area, or if you don't know anybody, you go back to the same group.
Exactly.
Where you made the wrong choice the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we want to prevent that from happening. And, you know, and you mentioned that in some cases, yes, family members may move out of the area, and then they have the challenge of not even being able to get information that they need so that they can move forward. And what I mean by that is, in some cases, if the family members have moved and this individual has been released and they're coming out and they want to start their lives all over again, get mm-hmm. driver's license, all these types of things, but they do not have access to birth certificates. They do not have access mm-hmm. to documentation that they need to move forward. Where do they go? How do they even start? In some cases, and technology moves so fast.
Yeah, if you're away from that for just a little bit of time, all of a sudden you get out and it's not dial-up internet anymore.
No. Oh, no. It is. It's a challenge. It's a humongous challenge. So we want to make sure that they are aware of all of those changes that have come upon, you know, that has happened since they've been gone.
Ted, the Center of Hope that Juanita was talking about just a moment ago, the Center of Hope,
that's
going to be the one-stop shop for these guys.
Absolutely.
Where they can walk in the door. And these needs will be addressed with them. There will be staff there. There will be resources there to assist these people. So it will be a one-stop shop for these people to get going, and we're standing by to help them out and do that.
But, and that's what you need, because if transportation is a problem, and probably mm-hmm. for many is, if somebody's here, I mean, that's the problem you hear a lot of times, with the homeless in this area,
absolutely.
That the different agencies are spread all over the city.
Yes, mm-hmm. there's a lot of different agencies doing a lot of good things.
Mm-hmm. But getting to them is the problem.
To them is the problem.
Absolutely. Right? You know, and when you say that also, Jim, and we do have a lot of great agencies in this area that's really trying to help people.
Yeah.
And even in this area as well, trying to help individuals that have been affected by incarceration. We have several organizations that's doing that, but it's we have a disjointed effort, and so we want to, in the Center of Hope, bring it all together in one area, because what they don't need when they come out is to be told to go here and there and everywhere. They can't get there. They're already confused because they've come out of an environment where they've been told what to do, when to do it, how to do it, what time to do it, and now we're expecting them to just do it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to get them there. It's a process that we've got to help them to get there. And so the Center of Hope will do that for them. We will help guide their success.
Yeah, you hear that kind of thing when people get out of the military, of having, because they've been
absolutely.
Yeah. It's all new.
And even more so
if
you've been incarcerated,
absolutely.
Because you've got so many other issues.
You're completely cut off. You don't have internet. You don't have all these communications with people. You can't just pick up a phone when you're in jail and call somebody, call a family member. So you are cut off.
Yeah.
So the Center of Hope will get these guys up to speed again. Get them caught up, give them the assistance that they need. Juanita mentioned the transportation. Now, this is a big area. You know, to go from point A to point B, it's a long trip.
Yeah.
And we do have public transportation in the area, and it is limited. But this is one of the things that the Center of Hope is going to offer. It's going to take these guys and these women to their appointments, to their commitments, to their parole officers, to get their things done. So they're moving in the right direction. And they're being, they're doing the right things.
And Juanita, it sounds like you'd like to hear from more area businesses who would be open to at least talk to you
Yes.
about some of the opportunities that you could provide and provide them maybe with some skilled workers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We would definitely love to hear from any employers, any businesses that are looking to that need help, number one. That need some help in moving forward, you know, that would offer employment opportunities, mm-hmm. that would give these guys another chance and another opportunity. And what I will say about that also is that, and if there are some employers who might be listening, we are having a job fair. We are responsible, Failsafe Era chairs, along with District 21 Probation and Parole, the Planning District 16 Reentry Council. And the Planning District 16 Reentry Council will be having a job fair on the 20th of April. And so if we have employers who are willing, who are willing to give these guys another chance, please give us a call, contact us, reach out to us so that they can be a part of this job fair. But we not only do we need businesses to help with employment needs, again, I go back to we need the leaders in our communities to get on board and to help guide this process, help understand that we have an issue, we have a problem. And the problem that we have is that the crimes are going to continue to be committed.
Mm-hmm.
So let us get out in front of these crimes and these activities and say, hey, we have some programs out here that we're willing to offer at Failsafe. We have programs here that will help you to, instead of making that bad decision, help you with some better decision-making skills and some better coping skills. So that you don't go out there and either recommit a crime or commit it for the very first time. Unfortunately, we have our children. You know, some of our children are now following in the footsteps of their parents and their loved ones.
Yeah, that whole cycle.
Oh, my gosh. And we don't even want to go there talking about the juveniles. But it is something that we're now finding more and more that we also have to focus in that area with the little children as young as kindergartens. We're going to start working with some of the K through 5 awareness program because we have children who are in school kind of broadcasting that, you know, my mom or my dad's in jail again. It's not good. That's not healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a whole other audience is the children, Ted. Juanita shared with me a piece that was aired, I believe, on ABC.
Yes.
One of the big networks where it was a program where a bunch of kids got to meet their dads after they had been in for a while, and it was – they talked about the counseling that had to take place with the children, and they talked about the counseling that had to take place mm-hmm. with the dads. So it's not just hey, here's your dad, and let's get reunited. There's a period there where there's got to be a transition. There's got to be some sort of counseling. There's got to be some adjustment that needs to be made. And these are the types of services that Failsafe Era offers these folks, these returning citizens, and their families.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very, very important thing that we can't forget. Especially the children.
Right.
They are affected by this in a major way. And to watch this ABC news piece, Juanita told me, she goes, you're going to cry when you watch this. And I'm like, I'm a guy. I ride a Harley Davidson. I'm not going to cry.
You're anymore. Grizzled.
I'm a grizzled guy, man. Hey, you like this beard I got going here?
Yeah, you're not going to cry.
But I tell you what, when Juanita showed me that piece, I cried.
Yeah.
It was a very, very emotional piece, and just to see that those children reunited with their dads, and their dads love them so much, and they just feel so useless that they're not able to do anything for them, and they're good people. They've just made a mistake in their lives, and we're trying to bridge that gap and give these guys those types of individuals. Not everybody deserves a second chance.
Right.
We're not saying that. But what we're saying is there's a lot of good people that are in jail right now that deserve a second chance when they get out. They've got families, and they want to be good workers. Mm-hmm. They want to be at work on time. They want to be drug-free. They want to contribute to the community. So it's a good hire for these employers in the area.
Yeah, you know, and you just hit on something, Jim. And one of the things I always tell people is that there's hope for everybody. Even for those who are in the system for the remainder of their lives, and the reason why I say that is because they are still affecting those that's going to come back out here.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things we have, our reentry director always says that rehabilitation, actually was one of our returning citizens that said this, but rehabilitation starts the day they go into prison.
Yeah.
Because if we don't start then we're going to lose them. And again, even though somebody might be in there for the rest of their lives, it is the responsibilities of the Department of Corrections, of the community that says, even though you say this person is not coming out, you still have a responsibility to work with them because they are affecting others who are coming out.
Yeah. And I like Jim at the beginning when we were talking and you were very upfront and said, you know, we're talking about the people that want it. Change.
Correct.
And you said, you know,
not everybody wants that. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. There are some, I hate to say this, but there are some men and women who like to be in jail.
Yeah.
And great.
And we're you know not, why? They're comfortable.
But they're comfortable. And yeah. we're not here to help them. We're here to help the people that want to get out, want to be reunited with their families, want to work for a living, mm-hmm. want to make a contribution to society, want to be law-abiding citizens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've only been with Failsafe now since September. I've met a lot of people like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Juanita, I think the next time we come in, perhaps maybe we could bring a returning citizen in.
Yes.
That would be.
And Ted, your listeners can, and you can meet this
yeah.
person and see how mm-hmm. How rough it is to get a job and how important it is for these people to maintain one.
Well, you know, and our goal is to just put a human face on that person instead mm-hmm. of a number. Because that's what people see them as a number.
Yeah.
They see them as that crime. And people are remorseful. There are a lot of people that are remorseful. There are a lot of people that totally regret the decisions that they've made.
Yeah.
And so just given that opportunity, giving us the opportunity to just be able to share with the community that we're here and that we're here to help. To me, makes a difference because I'm hoping, I'm praying that somebody else on the other end is listening and saying, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go to Failsafe and I'm going to get the help I need now because now I know they exist.
I hope that person exists. I hope there's some local leaders that are hearing about
Absolutely.
This and saying, didn't know about this, and some employers that say,
yes.
I need to talk to that woman. She's
yes.
She can't be on the radio. I still can't believe this is the first time you are so smooth that this is the first time you've ever been on the radio.
Yeah, so, well, they can only see behind the scenes.
You're doing fine. Failsafe.
Thank you.
Failsafe-era.org, the website. Failsafe-era.org. Juanita Shanks, Jim Barron here. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
News Talk 1230 WFVA. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking Failsafe Era this morning with Juanita Shanks, the president and CEO of Failsafe, and Jim Barron is also here. A little bit more about for someone who's getting in or tuning in late here, mm-hmm. here wanting to talk a little bit about what Failsafe does, and then the Center of Hope that is the building that we're all looking forward to that opening
Absolutely.
In a couple of years.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you again, Ted, for having us here. Any opportunity I get to talk to people about Failsafe Era, I love it because I want the community to know, I want people to know that we're here and we're here to help those individuals that have been affected by incarceration. We are a 501c3 nonprofit organization that operates over in the Goodwill Building on 4701 Market Street in Spotsylvania, and we provide educational opportunities, professional development opportunities for the returning citizens, and we do refer to them as returning citizens. We do not say formerly incarcerated. We do not say convicted felons. Those are very negative terms. We say that they are returning citizens. We also help them with access to housing. We also work with the family members. The we call them the silent victims.
Yeah.
What people do not realize is that when their loved ones go away, and there's a grieving process that they have to walk through because they've lost someone to incarceration. So we also work with the family members. We have a support group for the family members that meet on the third Saturday of the month at 10 o'clock at the Goodwill Building. And I will say to the family members to come out. It's hard, and a lot of families are ashamed, mm-hmm. and they won't come out. But in order for them to get healing from this, they need to be able to talk about this. They need to be able to understand how not to be an enabler. that was something that I had to walk through, is how not to enable that loved one, because sometimes these guys and gals can be pretty slick. Mm-hmm. And they know that they know how to get to the family members to get what they need. And so we want to make sure that everybody's informed. We also want to inform the community. We want the community to understand that we're here to help also educate them on the returning citizens and the fact that they may have done some things. They may operate in a certain manner, but a lot of them, what they've done, they're regretting, they're regretful, they're remorseful, they want an opportunity to do better, and we need to be able to give that to them. We need to recognize that people make mistakes. And I say to people, we all have family members. Most people have somebody that may have been in the system or not, maybe on their way or whatever the case may be, but you never know when it's going to hit you. Hmm. And so instead of judging, and I know a whole lot of people who say that before, and I actually have somebody who says, I don't have anybody that's ever been affected. And the day after, they say, you're not going to believe this.
Yeah.
My brother-in-law got a DUI. So it happens to people.
Just like
and
that.
It does. It really does. And nobody's immune from it. And we all have to understand that if we do something, which we all make mistakes in life. And I don't care if it may not be a criminal activity, it's something. And you're going to want somebody to forgive you. Mm-hmm. You're going to want somebody to say, it's okay. I'm here. I'm going to help you through this. And that's what we're here for, the returning citizens, to say, we forgive you. It's okay. We're going to help you through this. For the family members, it's okay. We're going to help you through this. For the community, it's okay. We're going to help us get through this, because we all want to be in a safer, stronger, healthier community. We all want our families to be healthy. I don't think there's anybody, nobody's born bad. We were not born to commit a crime. And so whatever happened, we've got to be able to give them what they need so that they can get their lives back. So that's what we're going to do at Failsafe Area in our Center of Hope. I call it one-stop shopping for success. Education, professional development, coaching, counseling, mentoring, housing, transportation, spiritual guidance. All of those things will be under our Failsafe Area Center of Hope, all under one roof to be that anchor of hope for anybody that's been affected by incarceration.
Well, thank you for what you're doing.
You're very welcome.
Because, boy, and it's the fact that you're right here in this community for us, is we're lucky to have you.
Thank you very much.
And look forward to continuing on this conversation and meeting some of the people and talking and seeing the Center of Hope come to fruition. So
thank you
so much. Again, if someone wants to jump online and get to Failsafe, how do they do that?
You can reach us on our website at failsafe-era.org, and that's Failsafe, F as in Frank, A-I-L-S as in Sam, A-F-E-era.org, or you can email us at failsafeera, one word, @gmail.com.
Juanita Shanks, Jim Barron, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ted.
Thank you.
That's it for Town Talk. We will see you next week on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.